And even this week, I got duped by someone. It happens every so often, right? I mean, I'd like to think that I'm not the only one it happens to, but this week I got duped because I often want to give people the benefit of the doubt and assume that their motivations are good, especially Christians. So let me tell you what happened. On Wednesday, I went to a conference for a couple of days with Rachel, my wife, and the conference was in Southern California in Anaheim, and no, conference in Anaheim is not buzzword for going to Disneyland, okay? Just let's be clear about that. But before the conference began, we had some time to grab lunch, and so we went over to Orange, California, and there's a really cutesy downtown, maybe you've heard of it, and we had lunch. We had a little bit of barbecue, and we decided that we would go ahead and then walk around downtown Orange a little bit to walk off lunch, and while we were walking around, we were approached by two young men, well-dressed, one with a video camera and the other one kind of dressed up like a reporter, and they stopped and they wanted to know if they could do one of these like on the street interviews to talk about Valentine's Day. And I totally get why they asked us. I mean, they look at us two young lovebirds and they went, oh, these people gotta be perfect to talk about Valentine's Day. I mean, I totally get the on the street interview when they saw us. So my guess is they wanted some candid, live answers, unscripted, to see what people know. I've seen enough of the late night on-the-street interviews that sometimes when people are asked questions, they answer them without really knowing what they're talking about. And I thought that maybe that's what they're trying to do, have some fun, ask about Valentine's Day, and I knew that if they were going to ask questions, I didn't want to be one of those people who blustered on about stuff I really didn't know about but talked confidently about. But then they said that they worked for a church in a media company, and I thought, oh, this is perfect. There's going to be no shaming whatsoever. This is right up my alley. Religious questions. And these two young men were nice and friendly, and we said, why not? So we answered questions ranging from, will you celebrate Valentine's Day, to the biblical significance of Valentine's Day. So several things in there. And for the record, it is not a biblical holiday, and I did know that. But I did explain to the viewers at home, whoever they might be, that Valentine was a saint of the church, and that he is remembered by our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, and that he was a martyr for doing kind things for people. So for about 3 minutes, we answered questions, and it went back and forth. Rachel said some things, I said some things, and I thought to myself, this will be a fun video at some church in Southern California that has budget enough for a media, you know, media ministry that they can do stuff like this. And so they gave me their card and they said, you know, you can check back on our website and you can see the video and it should be a lot of fun. Not so much. So on Friday, I went over to their website to see if they had posted this video, because I thought maybe I'd show it to you, you know, like that'd be kind of fun. And instead, it hadn't been posted, but there was a video, which is on the left there, should Christians celebrate Valentine's Day? I thought to myself, well, maybe it's in there. And so I clicked on the file to watch, should Christians celebrate Valentine's Day? First of all, it was a 34-minute video. I don't watch 34-minute videos. So I said, okay, I'll scan through it. So I kind of scanned through it. Fairly quickly, and our on-the-street interview was not in there. But as I was scanning bits and pieces of this video from this organization slash church slash media company, they hate Valentine's Day. They think it's unbiblical. They think our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters are heretics. They think anyone who celebrates it is unknowingly participating in the celebration of Lupercalia, from old Roman pagan days, and it was a fertility holiday that was mixed with the celebration of the founding of Rome. of Romulus and Remus, who were twins, who were raised by a she-wolf. I mean, okay. So they were talking about the sins of these poor people who've been duped into celebrating pagan holidays like Valentine's Day, and that the fires of hell are being stoked for those who celebrate it. I became a poster child of what was wrong with Protestant Christian America, and I didn't even know it. So, according to some, at least the people who are in charge of this church and this media company, essentially have labeled me a heretic because I've celebrated Valentine's Day. I mean, even as a little kid, I bought the little Valentines and I'd give them to my classmates. And so, but just so you know, you have a part in this too because you called a heretic pastor. So some of this is on you guys too, okay? It's not all on me. But I did learn something. I did learn something. As I reflected on this, I thought to myself, I best not make things spiritually worse. So I decided I'm not going to spend any money for Valentine's Day this year. So I thought that was a good resolution from what I learned from this, right? I thought that that's going to go over well because this is about eternal things. And so the rest of you, this is a learning point for all of you, especially some of you guys in the room, you need to discern whether marital conflict or eternal condemnation or both are in your future, okay? Actually, no. After seeing the video, I immediately went online and ordered flowers for my wife. I thought, if there was a reason to order flowers, seeing that video made me want to go order flowers. And the thing is, she's in Chicago this week visiting the kids. So I went and ordered flowers after seeing this, because I don't know if I'm actually celebrating Valentine's Day or Lupercalia, but either way, I bought her flowers, and I want you to see what I wrote, or typed in, because I did it online, the card that's going to come with the flowers, okay? This is what the flower card that she will receive with the flowers on Tuesday says. To my dearest Rachel, I love you with my whole heart. I'm sorry Valentine's Day is a pagan holiday, and I might be risking my eternal future by sending flowers, but I choose love now and forever. So I don't know where, I don't know where that's going to go, but that's, you know. So I might have a happy life, but not a happy afterlife. I'm not sure where this is going. So it wasn't quite a gotcha moment, but it was a setup, right? I was duped. We're friendly, we're asking some fun questions, and now I'm going to twist that and put that in a video to say, look at these poor fools in Orange, California for celebrating a pagan holiday. Now, I could be mad. I could get on social media and say, you know, watch out for this group and watch out for this church, and I could send them some nasty emails, and I could turn around and do to them what they did to me, and I could even use the Bible to back that up. I do have that ability, but I won't. I'm just going to keep on doing what Jesus told me to do. He told me to love. And we've been talking about the best sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he said. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the yucky tax collectors doing that? So Jesus lays it out. He says, just love. Just love. And we all know, I mean, that's easier said than done. I mean, we know what Jesus calls us to do, and we just want to ask the question, but Jesus, people are extra unlovable here in 2017 than they were back then. People are super duper unlikable today by the things they say and the things they do. And Jesus, if you would just check in on your Facebook page, you would see this. Jesus, if you would just watch the news, you would understand why we're not feeling all that loving right now. I mean, you want to say, Jesus, you're saying that this is hypothetical, right? That in a perfect world, I'm loving people because they're loving me back, and it's one big kind of hand-holding kumbaya party, so it's a hypothetical. Like, if everything was equal and everything was good, we would love each other. No, not at all. Not only did Jesus preach it, but he also lived it. And especially here is when you say, well, Jesus, is that just, you know, talk? Jesus' reply to that is it a hypothetical question or a hypothetical statement? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said that to the ones who were putting him to death, the ones that were killing him. Not only did he tell us to love, but he showed us how to love. Forgive the ones who want to kill you. Now, don't miss this. The reaction to an act of love was this. The people replied, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. Now, that's a hard lesson, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is, if we choose to be people of love, if we choose to be the followers of Jesus, people will sneer at us. Not the ones we're loving, but those from the outside will sneer at us for loving, in quotes, those people. Just so you know, a sneer shows us what's going on in one's heart and in one's mind. Sneers reveal contempt. In case you didn't know what a sneer looks like, that there you go. There's some working examples. Dean Winchester at the top, if you didn't know. But a sneer is contempt in such a way that it is the opposite of love. It is when someone feels that someone or someone else or something is beneath even consideration and they should be disregarded. And when we decide to follow the path of Jesus of just loving, people will sneer at us. People will have contempt for us. People will say all sorts of things because we're going to love others. See, we are reminded by Jesus in this whole teaching. Just to keep it simple. Keep it simple. All you have to do is love. Don't overthink it. Just love. But the problem is this. Don't confuse simple for easy. It's simple to say just love, but it's not easy to do. Matter of fact, they killed the guy we followed because he loved everyone and he told the haters to stop hating and they decided to get rid of him by killing him. It's not easy. See, Jesus got the final word, though. I love this. Love won when he came out of the tomb, and the haters didn't even know what to do with him. But the other problem with just loving, and it's not easy because we always get worked up by those people. And I'll let you fill in the blank, by the way. It's different for each of us. Each of us have a group of people that we say, you know, those people. And then once we've decided for various reasons why they shouldn't be loved, we fill in the blank why. Because they're ignorant, they're sinners, they're difficult, they're hateful, they're mean, they're liars. They don't see things my way, which, by the way, I see things the way God sees them, so they're pretty much against God too. Right? I'm right. And I'm on God's side, so therefore they're not. But here's the problem. And this is the struggle for all of us, is that whoever those people are for us, there's never going to be a sudden awakening or a miracle of sorts that people are going to start seeing things the way we see them, and they're not just going to all of a sudden start agreeing with us. It's just not going to happen. So there's always going to be those people in the world. Now, we have a couple of choices, though. We can sneer at them and hold them in contempt. I mean, that's a choice. Or we can do this. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Go with the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you, which is really just a fancy way of saying, well, love people anyways. There's no asterisk there. There's no fine print that says it does not apply if they are mean. It does not apply if they do not agree with you, or it does not apply if they don't live life the way you think they should be living their life. There's no fine print. There's no asterisk. It just says love people and go the extra mile for them, even when you don't feel like it. Love like Jesus, especially the people that creep you out. So how do we do this? We often make the mistake of thinking too big. We think groups of people. We think categories of people. A segment of society that is way too big for us. You see, in this reading from Matthew chapter 5, you know, from 38 to 42, it wasn't aimed at groups of people, even in the grammar that Jesus uses. He wasn't talking about groups of people. But he was talking about individuals. So when Jesus told us to love, he says you are to love individuals, especially the creepy ones. So why is this important? Because none of us, including myself, will ever draw a large enough crowd to love a group of people and to show a large group of people Jesus. But we all can do that with individuals. So don't think big, think one. Because love does something that obedience, accountability, and the law can never do. Love changes people's hearts. Because I know when you preach a sermon like this, there's always a few people who go, well, what about accountability, and what about obeying God's law, and what about... Love actually takes care of all those things. Love changes people's hearts. See, demanding compliance only spurs rebellion. Demanding, you know, threatening compliance for any reason, or using the phrase, it's God's will only push people away. See, love takes care of all of those things. And as you love people and draw them into relationship, they experience the love of God through you, and it changes them. But the secret is it changes you. It softens us as well. See, it's not up to us to change people. We are really bad at changing people. If you doubt me, look up world history and look at any group or any government who tried and demanded that people change and do things a certain way or act a certain way. It always ends in failure. But when love leads the way, we prepare for God to do amazing things through us. But here's how we lose our way in this. Here's how we lose our way as individuals and as a church, is when we make it personal. When we make every attack or argument or hatefulness about us. The minute we feel slighted or offended, we're making things about us. And when we do that, we're putting up walls. What I'm talking about isn't about us at all. It's about Jesus. We are a minor player in God's drama. We're not the main characters. Jesus is. And when we make it about ourselves, Jesus cannot shine through. So instead of being transparent like a window to Jesus to let God shine through us, we become a wall. And when we build a wall, that is a wall between another person and God. Someone who desperately needs more love in their life. Which I did learn something while I was down in Anaheim. Bless you, by the way. I did learn this. Is down in Disneyland, these are not my pictures, just... these were online. The pictures, these windows at Disneyland are down on something called Main Street USA, which is this little, what looks like a kitschy little downtown from early 20th century America. And there's these little shops down below selling all sorts of Disneyware. But above these cute looking shops are these windows that are painted with various businesses like an upstairs office suite, and they're all up and down Main Street, USA. And if you've ever been there, you might have looked up and seen these painted windows with businesses and people's names. The names are real people. Those are actual people who made Disneyland special in their one unique way. Sometimes it's musicians, sometimes it's people who work behind the scenes, sometimes it's various things. But all the names on the painted windows up on the second floor of Main Street, USA are real people, and they are conferred. Those names painted on there are conferred at retirement when they've done something exceptional for Disneyland, years of dedication, so on and so forth. So go and look sometime, or go online, and you'll see that each of those people have a story of a way that they contributed in an amazing way to the experience at Disneyland. And I thought to myself, what if God did that in heaven? What if God reserved a window for us at our retirement, for those who let the love of God shine through them, and everyone else got their name on a wall? I mean, I can't tell you how much I'd prefer to have my name on a window than on a wall. I want people to see Jesus and less of me and more of him, and not seen as a wall, as a barrier that kept people away from the love of God. Because Jesus spent time with people who were unloved. Jesus spent time and cared for those that no one else wanted to be around. Jesus cultivated a following of yucky, creepy people. Think about that. So here's our challenge. Our challenge begins not with groups, but individuals. So find someone who's on your those people list. Oh, you got people in mind. I can see it on your faces. You're thinking about somebody you know. Because this isn't about strangers. This is somebody you know. Think about somebody on that those people list of yours. And here's the thing. For some of you, it means you're going to have to show some love to some Democrats. And some of you are going to have to show some love to some Republicans. I told you it wasn't going to be easy. For others, there's a different those people list. I know for some people, and you know, this is a touchy subject, but for some people, this might be to love someone with a different sexuality than yourself. For others, it's someone who's emotionally needy, and you try to avoid because you don't want to get sucked into that, but Jesus says, just walk into it. Whoever that person is coming to your mind, love them. Walk a mile or two with them. See, there's no other agenda that Jesus laid out for us. He didn't say, well, love them so you can do this to them or do this for them or whatever. He just said, just love them. Love them so that they can experience me. Now, here's the disclaimer. So if a bunch of people start talking to you after church and are actually really nice to you and you don't know why, that's not on me, okay? I did not have anything to do with that. Because here's the thing, you're not alone. If you're that person this morning, you're not alone because a lot of people feel like they have to talk to me after service, so I totally understand how that goes. But the only way we can do this is staying close to the one that other people sneered at. People sneered at Jesus. So let's stay close to him. And let's keep it simple. But always knowing and understanding that it is never easy. Amen.
Brothers, let us come together, walking in the Spirit. There's much to be done. We will come reaching out from our comfort. We were made for kindness. We can pierce the darkness as he shines through us. Church arise, love with his hands, see with his eyes, bind it around you, let it never leave you, and they will know us by our love. Children, you are hope for justice, stand firm in the truth.